This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
It's Friday. I don't know why, if I'm just exhausted from traveling like nonstop this summer. I've been so tired lately. So can we just take a deep breath together? And whoever's listening, please join us in this deep breath.
I love your mindful breaths. I'm so glad you're back, because it's been tough doing this without you. I've missed you.
You've been absolutely crushing it. I have so looked forward to the episodes coming out the last 2 weeks with Danny Levesque and with Sonia. If you haven't caught up on those episodes, please catch up. It was so fun listening to you guys. It reminded me of the old days before I was a co-host. And I used to just like be a fan and be an avid listener. So it was like fun the last few weeks, but I definitely missed you. I missed co-hosting with you. So this episode is going to be a heavy hitter for a lot of reasons. So everyone, yes. Danny, can we please take a deep breath?
Okay,
relax the shoulders. Feel where you're sitting in your chair. Maybe you're sitting in the car. Maybe you're walking. Just starting to feel stable with where you're at in your body. Relaxing. Releasing any tension in your neck, shoulders, jaw. Let's take a deep breath in through the nose. And exhale. Oh, wow.
Wow, that felt nice. Really.
I hope everyone did that with us.
I hope so too, because
that was lovely.
I also think you need to have like your own like breathwork meditation on open or something. That would be really lovely.
I think people get enough of my voice here.
No, I was immediately in this nice little like, huh. It was either that or the propanolol kicking in finally.
We're gonna go with the beta blocker there. I freaking love it. Oh my god, that's awesome. Oh, that's
anxiety.
Great.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, it's real. It's real.
It's real.
Anxiety is so real. Okay.
But Jack's right, we do have a special and heavier episode today. So just want to put this one out there. If you are in the process of freezing your eggs, infertility treatments, going through like a fertility journey yourself, just listen with a tender heart. Jack and I will talk about the injections and how many eggs and just like giving like our honest experience of the process. So if that feels like too heavy for you, no shame in that game. Like, feel free to turn us off. Listen when you're ready. But by that same token, if you feel like someone that you love could use, listen to this episode. We are here for that as well.
How do we even like get started on this? Because we need to catch everybody up. I can't believe that we both froze our eggs. Our eggs are literally, I just thought about this today. They are on ice. They are just chilling on ice.
Our hot eggs are on ice. Does that mean they're steaming? Are they sizzling? Our hot girl summer was on ice.
Oh, baby. Baby, baby, baby. We got a lot to talk about with these eggs.
Yes. But Jack and I were lucky enough, privileged to work with CoFertility and meet people on their team. CoFertility, if you've been following along with Jack and I on this journey, is an amazing organization that we found that has like a great grasp on the ethics surrounding egg freezing and egg donation, and really just wants to help make it more accessible for people and to help focus on helping families have babies that want to have babies. So they have an amazing keep program and share program. Their share program, I think, is what really drew Jack and I to them, in that while neither of us were age really eligible to be egg donors, their share program focuses on matching donors with intended parents, specifically parents who, well, not specifically, but heavily leaning towards same-sex families that otherwise wouldn't be able to conceive a child of their own. And if you're doing the donor program, half of the eggs that are retrieved from you, you get to keep, and the other half goes to intended parents. And the matching process is very beautiful. They want, you know, everyone to, you know, feel very comfortable with each other. And it's just, it's a really special program. So if you haven't heard of them, please go back and listen to our episodes, especially our episode with CoFertility's founder, Lauren Mackler. She is a godsend. She is just the coolest and has a really beautiful story to share as well. They also have different options available to make egg freezing more affordable for people who the donor route doesn't really speak to or they're just not a candidate for. So that's a long-winded way of saying we love CoFertility and everything that they're working on.
It's so great too that we have this resource for people to go back and listen to those episodes in season 6. To really dive into the egg process, or egg freezing process, whether you're going to do it with CoFertility, whether you're doing it through a separate company, if you're just thinking about dabbling into the idea of it, those episodes just live for you there on Spotify or on Apple, wherever you get your podcast. So it's just really great that if you're not ready to dive in yet, that they are there for you. So many good episodes and great resources for you there.
All right, Jack, do you want to kind of kick us off on your journey and how, I mean, we were delayed, you know, we had some hiccups along the road, some health issues that we had to attend to, but yeah, do you want to kind of kick us off and kind of share what the process was like for you? You know, we started with meds, we had to do ultrasounds, all the things, so...
Yes. So let's get started with kind of where we left off, which, yes, like you said, we both got delayed multiple times. We tried so hard to sync up to do this together, but turns out we were just a few weeks apart of being able to do it together.
And if you've been listening to us from the beginning, we were like magically synced period sisters forever. And that this one thing that we wanted to be able to do together, we couldn't do.
Exactly. There was like, I think it was my estrogen level. There was one tiny little thing that...
Oh yeah, you had already ovulated or something maybe?
Yeah, there was something going on with like my estrogen levels that Dr. Olcha wanted to wait until my estrogen got to like a certain level. And we thought we were going to be able to do it at the same time. But then my labs came back and they weren't ideal. So I had to wait another 2 weeks. So Danny started before I did, which was extremely lucky for me because I kind of got to ask you all of the questions along the way of what to expect and kind of got to see you do it. And there was definitely, I think, a confidence there of like when you just successfully went through it, you kind of gave me an idea of what to expect. I felt a lot more confident. Like, okay, if Danny did it, like, I know I can do it. Like Danny did it, I can do it. That was kind of like always in the back of my head. So overall, the beginning process of getting the ultrasounds and doing the meds, I guess it was kind of what I expected. I will say I've never had a transvaginal ultrasound before. So going in and seeing your uterus and looking at your ovaries, I had so much anxiety, like, again, that they're going to find something wrong. Like, always just in the back of my mind thinking, well, something's going to be wrong. What are they going to find today? Always this just like general anxiety. After the second or third ultrasound, I definitely got a little bit more comfortable with it. But this is kind of when you're starting to do the meds and doing the injections. So I remember the first few days that I did the injections. So these are sub-Q injections. I remember thinking, first of all, thank God I'm a nurse, because like, how else would I know how to fucking do a sub-Q injection on myself?
Right.
Like, I don't know how people that are not in healthcare, I give them so much credit, because even as a nurse, as a nursing professor, I teach students how to give sub-Q injections. I like got nervous. I was like, am I doing this right? Like, did I get this into my like fatty tissue? Like, what if I fuck this up? Like, I could not believe like how like doubtful I was with my own ability to give myself these injections, whatever. So the first few injections, I was surprised at how easy they were. I was like, this is a breeze. I got right. This. This is mm-hmm. nothing. This is totally fine.
What is everybody complaining about?
Yes. I was like, this is not a big deal. As the time went on, I would say once I got to day 7, things kind of took, I would say, a little bit of a turn. Maybe even a little bit earlier, like maybe day 5, 6, 7. Like,
yeah.
Was it 5 for you? Okay.
I think it was about 5.
5, 6, and 7 is kind of when things started to take a turn for the like, okay, this is starting to get annoying. Mm-hmm. One, because physically it started to hurt. Like the injections, like you start to run out of sites on your lower belly.
Mm-hmm.
I bruise super easily too. So like I could see all of the bruising. By day 7, I ran out of area. So I'm like, I'm starting to feel kind of raw in the injection sites, and it just stings. And you're just like, so I think there's that physical aspect of once you start to notice the physical aspect of it physically hurting, then I don't know if I was just more hyper aware of my emotions with the hormones,
but yeah.
That's also when that started to take a turn of like, oh, I feel fine. My skin is glowing. I feel totally normal to, I am having mood swings. Like fucking, I've never had them before. Like I'm pissed. I'm crying. I'm happy. I feel like I can do anything in the world to 10 minutes later. I just want to sleep and I don't want anyone to talk to me and I want to be left alone. So I would say like after day 7, I think that's like, there are how many days total? Like of the injections?
I guess like 10 days of injections.
I think I did 10.
Yeah.
So from day, yeah, maybe it was like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It was pretty rough. I'm not going to lie. Like it was still like, you know, it was fine, got through it. But yeah, I think the emotional aspect was harder than I expected those last few days.
Yeah.
And then physically. And then I do remember specifically the trigger shot in your ass, which was an IM injection. That one fucking hurt. And I knew that was going to hurt because I actually had to have an IM injection recently of penicillin because I had reoccurring strep throat, and they were like, all right, bitch, you've had recurring strep throat. We just got to give you this shot in your ass of penicillin. And I was like, motherfucker. And I remember thinking like, whoa, that really hurt. Again, I was nervous. I was like, do I even know how to do an IM injection right now? I was like staring at the mirror, like trying to think of like the best angle to like give myself an IM injection in my freaking ass. That one hurt. So once the trigger shot was done, I was so ready to just get on a plane and get to New York. The last thing I will say that was very, like, more than I expected was the bloating.
Yeah. I was like, I looked a little preggy. I had a nice little lower belly pooch.
I don't know if I just expected, I don't know what I was expecting, but I think I was more expecting the bloating to feel like I ate Chipotle the night before and like I just don't feel comfortable. This kind of bloating, like physically, like my belly was just like, it was protruding out in a way I've never seen before. And the best way that I could describe it is like, you know, when you feel constipated and it just like hurts, it kind of feels like that, but you can literally feel it in your ovaries. So it's like more in the front, and it like made it painful to walk. Like every step.
Could you feel forward, like funking almost?
Yes. I wish you guys could see what we're like doing with our hands, but literally I'm like taking a step and it's like thunk, thunk.
Yes.
Thunk.
But like, when you get up, it's like they like drop like gravity, like. Thunks them down.
It's not like a sharp pain. It's like an aching, just like, ow, like I don't want to walk. Like I feel heavy. I feel tired.
Yeah.
So that was a lot more than I expected. Like I was like, whoa, holy bloated in my ovaries right now. So,
but your ovaries get really big. They're like,
I know,
fist size.
And it was really cool. On the other end, like some of the cool things on the positive side, doing all of this with the ultrasounds every few days was very cool. Like being able to actually see your follicles and have the, I don't know about you, but my OB was able to count the follicles. And she's like, okay, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 on this side. I see 7 on this side, looking great. And then the next time I'd go and they'd be so much bigger. I'd be like, holy shit, how is this inside of my body?
Yes. Yeah. That was so wild.
So I'm going to stop myself there because I want to hear about your process up until this point. So let's let's recap your process up until retrieval.
I had like a few little hiccups with my meds and everything like that too. I completely second everything that you said. It was like initially the shots were like, okay, no big deal. Because it was just one, right? It was just the Follistim. It was that pen. It was that skinny little needle. It was like, oh, got this, nothing, you know? But like, I did have that, like, you know, I feel like when I was giving myself my first shot, I was like, whoa, like, this is real. Like, I'm actually doing this. I'm actually taking this step for my future fertility. Like, not totally knowing like what that's going to look like, if that's going to happen. But like, I felt like that weight of like, this is for my future. But it was around like day 5 or 6, I think, when it was starting to get like, okay, this just feels kind of annoying. And then you're like, okay, I have so many more days of this. Then I have to start like doing 2 shots a day, and you're like running out of space, like it's starting to sting more. And like at first, so this was the cool part for me. I did all my transvaginal ultrasounds at home. So
cool.
It was awesome.
I don't know how you did that on your own. Like, I have no idea how you did that.
Did I send you a picture of like the handset?
Yeah.
Okay.
So crazy.
So the handset is attached to like an app on my phone. So like, I'm calling Dr. Ultra through this app, and it's not like a FaceTime thing or anything like that, but it is like essentially done on like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. But I did my own, which was kind of awkward to figure out like the angles so that I could... Y'all, I had to do everything. I have one hand on the transvaginal ultrasound probe, like moving it wherever I'm supposed to, like left and right and up and down and turning it and all these things. All the while, once I find my like right ovary, I have to stay in that position, hold my left arm on this freaking the ultrasound thing. And then I have to like, I'm the one tapping on my phone and measuring the follicles. Which was so cool. Like, and Dr. Ultra's telling me exactly what to do. He's like, okay, go on this upper left-hand corner, click on this and this. And okay, we're on our right ovary. And we're going to tap in the middle of this guy, tap in the middle of this guy, tap in the middle, you know. And then we'd go to the other side. And then I would do the other side. So I like got to see firsthand, like my follicles growing, my ovary size growing. And it was like, it was very cool. It was a very cool experience. But we did hit a point where poor Dr. Ultra, he had so many like hard conversations with me.
I know.
Bless him. We love Dr. Ultra so very much of Selma Fertility. I have a funny story to tell you too. He was like so excited the episode came out at the retrieval, and he was like, oh my God, that was so cool. Like, it was so professional. He was geeking out. It was amazing. So I hit a point where my estrogen levels were not coming up. They were like staying at like 300 or 400 when they should have been like 900 or like 1200. And at that point, I really hadn't felt much happening in my body other than like my stomach hurt, like my skin hurt from doing all the shots. And he's like, so let's give it the weekend. I'm going to like increase your like dosage on the meds. But like, if we don't like get your blood work, if like your estrogen levels aren't meeting at this point, then we're going to have to like call it for this one because your body's just not responding at this point. And it doesn't make sense to go forward if like we only have 2 or 3 follicles that are actually producing eggs and responding to the treatment. So I actually physically, I was crushed. Like, I was like, oh my God, I've already done all this work. What am I going to do? And I mean, we get woo-woo on this podcast. We manifest. And I literally just like, any chance I had. I would sit there, and especially before I went to bed, I just had my hands on my stomach, and I would just like envision my ovaries getting bigger, the follicle size growing, and like I could almost feel it happening in my body, as nutty as that sounds. But also I was like up to like probably 250 microunits or whatever it is of follistim and another medication at that point. Monday comes, we do another ultrasound, and we get like super happy Dr. Olsha. He's like, amazing. You have more follicles that are growing. I'm feeling much better. We're going to keep going. Go get your lab work and I'll send you like the next directions. So yeah, that was just, that was like a really like low point, I think, in it for me, because I was like, oh my God, what if this doesn't work? What if my body doesn't respond? But thankfully it did. But yeah, it was, that was,
that I remember was tough. That.
Yeah.
I remember when you called me and you were like, really, I mean, of course I would have been so upset too.
Yeah.
Because then you're like wondering, well, why didn't my body work? Like, is it going to work even next time? Like, not mm-hmm. even that I don't want to do it next time, but even if I have to do it another time, like, how do I, it's, I remember that was really stressful. So I'm so happy that whatever protocol and whatever manifestation you had going on,
yes,
your body responded. Yeah.
Phew. Yeah. Oh my God. I was so scared, y'all. Because it's so expensive, right? And you're just like, how do I get another shot at this? Because, and it just really made me feel for everybody out there who literally has to go through this multiple times, might have to like stop and start their treatments. And, you know, if that's you, like, if you receive it, I am sending you so much love right now, because it's not easy.
It also gave me such a profound respect for people that struggle in any form of their health that need to access our healthcare system regularly. So mm-hmm. having to open up my schedule to be able to get an ultrasound two or three times a week, go get labs those two or three times a week, it was only for like over the course of a month that we had to really be flexible and mm-hmm. make these appointments work. It was annoying. And I just remember thinking, you know, I can't imagine. I just, like I said, I have such a profound respect for people that are struggling with different health issues that they have to utilize our healthcare system and make appointments and follow up with labs. And it really makes you realize, like, it made me at least extremely grateful for my health outside of this. Mm-hmm. I'm freezing that, like, for now that I don't have to deal with this kind of stuff, because it is a burden. It's a burden having to, you know, change your work schedule around. I had to, you know, take some time off. Like, overall, obviously, like, we were so fortunate to work with CoFertility and to work with clinics that were able to fit us in and to get mm-hmm. this all scheduled. And we had so much help and so many resources and people to call and people yes. to help with scheduling and things. So I'm just so grateful that we had that kind of support, because I can't imagine having to do all of this without that level of support.
Yeah. Really. From no, Sama and imagine. From CoFertility.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. So we finished the injections. We finished yes. our trigger shot. It is now time to go to New York.
New York. Yes.
I was super excited to go to New York. I was like, just get me the hell out of here. I was like, I need a change of scenery. I feel like shit. Like, just get me out of here. So once I got to New York, I kind of had a breath of fresh air. I was so excited to get this over with. And I was just excited to be in New York. I made plans with my boyfriend to go out to dinner the night before. And then I made all these plans the day after. I was like, we're going to go out to brunch right after. And we're going to go out to dinner that night. And like, I can't wait to drink wine. Like, I was so freaking excited to have a glass of wine. Overall, again, like, we got into New York the night before, got to Sama Fertility, met Dr. Olsha early the next morning.
He's the sweetest human, isn't he?
Literally so sweet. I was like, I feel like I know I already know you. Like, I know this is the first time we've met in person, but like, I gave him a big hug. I was like, thank you for dealing with Danielle and I. I'm so sorry that we have been Like the worst patients ever.
He loves us.
I hope so. He faked it, at least, if he doesn't. So no, I felt the love so much from Dr. Olcha. Once we got to Sama, that like next hour was the easiest hour of my entire life. Like it was such a breeze. Literally, like they just put you into the like pre-procedure, I guess like what you would think of as a pre-op room, change into the gown, get every, you know, get the set of vitals. I was like, I remember being like super comfy and feeling super like, again, supported. And like, I kind of felt like the star, like I felt like a celebrity where it was like, this is all about you and your eggs. And I was like, so it was honestly, it was like a fun feeling. So then we get into the procedure room, they start the IV. I remember they told me this is going to feel like the best nap of your life, which is exactly what it did. I remember they were asking me about traveling. And they were like, where's your favorite place to travel? And I like started going on and on about Italy. And then next thing you know, I was out. And the next thing I remember is I was in the recovery right after.
FaceTiming me.
I was so loopy, like right after. I remember being very loopy, like right after. And then I remember like kind of coming to and being like, how did it go? How did I do? Like, how many eggs? And Dr. Olcha was like, you need to chill. Like, just relax. So I finally like came to, I felt rested, and Dr. Olcha came in. We talked about the eggs. I'm like trying to remember if there was like anything funny. I just remember like I was acting like an idiot. Like I was still high on drugs and acting like, and I remember my boyfriend Richie like took like a hilarious video of me that I'm like, I will murder you if you release this to anyone, this video of me being just like high off of these meds. But no, it was great. I ended up getting 8 eggs originally, 8 eggs. And I went in, I remember kind of like, I know it's not about the numbers, they say, like, but it is, like, it is about the numbers. I remember going in hoping for 10. Like, 10 was kind of like my number that I really wanted. So after I heard 8, I wasn't disappointed. I was like, you know what? That's pretty close to 10. Like, I, again, had this like fear that something was going to happen and I wasn't going to get any. So the fact that I got 8, I was like, not like best case scenario, but like, I'm pretty happy with 8, like sounds good. And so then, finished all of, you know, just kind of like packing up, getting out of there. And then after that, like, I felt like $1,000,000. I ended up taking a nap at some point later that day, but like, I was fine. I felt just like not feeling that kind of bloat anymore. And that relief mm-hmm. of, you know, this being over and we got some eggs. I was good. Like, we went out to brunch right after. I got my mimosa. We went on a nice walk through New York. Like, I had a great, great, great day that day after. Definitely slept a lot that night, but like, honestly, it was super easy. Like, I remember thinking to myself, I probably could have gotten this procedure done in the morning and like gone to work after. Like, it really, that like really wasn't that bad. Overall, that's what I would say. Like, the day 7 to 10 of the injections were worse than I thought, but the retrieval and everything after, a lot easier than I expected. Like smooth, smooth, smooth sailing for me.
I'm really going to try not get too emotional. I agree. Like the retrieval and everything was so easy. You know, Michael came with me. He gave me my trigger shot. And we were just having so much fun, you know, like everything was so sweet, you know, like met Dr. Olcha. I had actually had either like an allergic reaction or the, you have to take doxycycline as like a prep, right? It's a surgical procedure. So, but you can get like a little bit of like a skin rash sensitivity and, you know, I'm an aesthetic, so I'm using retinols all over my face. So I think I probably got a little too much sun and retinol with the doxy. My neck was like lit up. I thought I have a new allergy to doxycycline. So still not sure. We're going to put that under the list of, we're just not going to take that one anymore. But yeah, I remember being like very struck by Dr. Olcha being like, no, it's literally going to be like 45 minutes to an hour. And like, and you're going to be done and you guys can go about your day. And it's very rare, you know, that I have patients that are, you know, in a lot of pain afterwards. But if you are, like, just take some Tylenol, bring like a heating pad, but it shouldn't be, you know, any worse than like some like mild cramps. What's hard for me in talking about this is not, I've been dreading doing this episode for this reason. I woke up and, you know, everything went great. Michael was waiting there with like a matcha latte for me. And Dr. Alcha came in and he was like, it just gave him like the biggest hug and was just so happy and just kept like thanking him for, you know, taking such good care of me. And I ended up getting 11 eggs, which is way more than I thought they would be able to retrieve. What's hard in talking about this really isn't the procedure itself. It's what came after. And I just need to get it out there so that people stop asking questions and I can just move forward. But the day after Michael and I got home from freezing my eggs, he broke up with me. And I was very, very blindsided by it. Obviously still very emotional and hurt and confused. I still don't really have many answers, I guess. It's just hard not to, I don't know, I'm in it. I'm grieving the loss of him. I'm grieving the loss of the future that I really believed in. And I'm grieving the loss of James. And I'm grieving the loss of safety that I felt with him for the first time. He was the first person that ever made me feel safe in a relationship, that made me feel like I was enough. And then that was taken away. So it's really hard thinking back on the whole experience because it was a really beautiful trip. I was so proud of myself. Michael took great care of me. And it was a very, very love-filled weekend. And I ended up being able to freeze 8 eggs, which now I am just incredibly, incredibly grateful for, as I am now alone. But at least I've got 8 little malty eggs on ice. And that takes a lot of pressure off because the future is extremely uncertain right now.
I know it is taking a lot for you to share, to kind of relive these wounds that still feel really fresh. And I just want to say, you know, thank you so much for being vulnerable and being able to talk for the first time about what's been going on. Because as your best friend, I know it's been weighing on you incredibly, of course. And my heart just is still just so broken for you. And is just so, I care so, so much about you. And I know that this process of egg freezing was so difficult, especially, you know, after, regardless of what you're going through, the emotions of coming off of these hormones was almost, yeah, at least for me, just as bad, if not worse, than going on them the few weeks coming, yeah, off of, yeah, them. And so I just, it has been, you've been in it, like you said, you've been in it. And I just want to take a moment to, you know, really thank you and just kind of be here with you in this moment, because it's not easy. I know this wasn't easy for you.
No, just very grateful for you and all my friends for that matter who have not left me alone. But yeah, it was really difficult to, you know, come down off of this experience that I was so excited for, and then to have to like come down off of the hormones while being in complete shock, like complete physical shock. Yeah, I was just completely blindsided. But that's not what this episode is about. It is about our experience, and I am just so grateful for the care of Dr. Alcha and Soma Fertility. And it truly, like, I didn't believe Dr. Alcha when he said how easy it was going to be. But like, even afterwards, like, I got a big greasy cheeseburger. I took a nap. And I definitely should not have gotten the greasy cheeseburger after the propofol. My stomach was not too happy with me that night, but it felt so much better. It was like our ovaries had almost like deflated inside us because they were so big with these follicles housing these eggs. And actually, I have a video. Did Dr. Olson take a video of you, of him like pulling out
I'm not sure. I don't have the video. Maybe okay. I don't know.
He may have forgotten. Yeah.
I need to find out.
Ask him. I asked him like right before and I was like, oh, I need this for my reel. Can you take a video? But I will, I'll share a video of what it actually looks like during the process, like what, you know, Dr. Ultra sees or what your reproductive endocrinologist will see. And it's really very cool. And it was so cool watching it back, but it's just like the tiniest needle that via ultrasound, they go in and they just suck out the follicles and they go to the next one. They suck it out. They go to the next one. They suck it out and they deposit your eggs into like a little like petri dish. And you can see them like moving around. It's like really wild. So that was just, I'm trying to just think back on like the really cool parts and moments of it. And, but I'm curious if like afterwards for you, it felt almost like heavier little rocks in the bottom of my stomach. Like I could feel them. It felt more like almost like bouncy water balloons. I feel like before we had the retrieval, but like afterwards, then it just felt like rocks. Like anytime you stepped, like you can feel them like shift. And I wasn't prepared for that.
You know, I don't know. I think right after, I think I just felt so much just lighter. Like it literally, this physical weight has literally just been taken off of you. Like I remember thinking I was going to have to Uber home, like Uber back to the hotel. I was like, fully, we're Ubering back to the hotel. But I felt so great. I was like, let's take the subway. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm ready to walk.
You were like, so funny on FaceTime. You're like, I'm ready to go. We did it.
I was like, give me my wine and my burger.
Yes. God damn it. That was you.
But I do want to say, like, I know that this isn't like the, like we said, this is about our process, but I do want to talk about like how after, in the weeks after, and my body I've always known is always really sensitive to hormones, medications, whatever it is, my body is always really sensitive to things. And I would say it probably took me like a solid 3 weeks to start to feel a little normal, to start to feel normal again, just hormonally and emotionally. It took a lot. And I remember, you know, obviously you and I, you know, at this point we're kind of on the phone every day, kind of just talking and like catching up how we're doing. And I just remember having so much empathy for you because the emotional roller coaster of coming off the hormones was so real, and adding in a massive life change. I can't imagine how you, like, I know you're still going through it and I know that it was, but I just like those few weeks, like those were.
I honestly,
yeah,
I don't remember much. And I don't know if that's the shock. I know it was probably, I know I was probably feeling it all, but I can't, I wish I could actually articulate how that all felt, or if I could like separate what felt like the emotion or like the like hormones and stuff wearing off versus, you know, the, I don't know, it was just so much physical pain. I can't really remember.
I know. And, you know, it's been a few months now since
about two and a half months.
And, you know, there's no, as we've talked about on this podcast before, we've talked about grief many, many times. And as we know, you are no stranger to grief, and there's no timeline. There's no, you know, right answer, but it might be too soon for you to like, you know, feel this now, but I do hope you know, you kind of already mentioned this before, but I really do hope that one day you look back at this, at that experience of freezing your eggs with a lot of gratitude mm-hmm. that you did do this on your own and that you did do this for yourself, because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we don't know what the future is going to look like. And that's why women have to do this in the first place.
Yeah. There's so much more pressure on it.
A really unfortunate and just difficult, like, reality for you to be, like, faced with this. But I do hope that, you know, at one point you see a lot of gratitude and that I did this for myself.
I do.
So it's been, like we just said, about 2.5 months since you've had, you know, since we both have finished the retrieval and since you've gone through a lot of life changes that mm-hmm. we have not talked about at all on the podcast. Do you want to, you know, catch anyone else up on just how you're doing now, how you're feeling, anything else that, you know, we can hear from Dee?
I'm definitely starting to, you know, find myself again. It's one of those things, you know, it's like day by day, right? I was not expecting to still be so emotional even talking about this and like how I'm doing right now. My therapist has been putting in work, but I honestly am doing so much better. I've shown myself a lot of strength and a lot of grace and, you know, just how resilient I am. Some people have questioned that in the past and just ain't the case. I'm just a person that, you know, has to feel everything. I love boldly and I'll never be ashamed of that, but I'm very thankful for the girls that I work with. They have really just like rallied around me. And I've, you know, been making new friends in Cleveland, and it's really shown me that there are just how much good there is in my life because of people like you and friends and new friends. And thank God for work, you know, having something to keep yourself busy. But I've just been taking a lot of time with my feelings and processing them and, you know, figuring out my life. You think it's going to go one way and it, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. So starting fresh again has been very, very difficult, very painful to say the least, but I am doing it and every day does get a little bit better. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I know I can speak on behalf of a lot of your friends, your coworkers, I'm sure a lot of our listeners here, a lot of your fans that have fallen in love with your grace and strength and kindness in saying that you are so deserving of love. You are so deserving of a person that is 1,000% sure of you and is willing to do whatever it takes for you. And I know that you are going to find that. And I know you are in it right now, but I know from the depths of my soul that you are going to find that right person. And I'm so, so proud of you as always. You continue to just amaze me with how much strength you have and just rolling with what life continues to throw your way. And I know that we can just expect some really beautiful and great things from you.
I love you, Jack.
I know, I love you too.
This episode took a few turns, but thank you for giving me the space and for being my partner in freezing my eggs. Very, very grateful to Co-Fertility for taking Jack and I on. Co-Fertility really, like, we can't say enough good things about them. Just to reiterate, you know, Co-Fertility offers two programs. They have their Keep program and Split program. In the Keep program, members keep all of the retrieved eggs, which is what Jack and I did. And the Split program allows women to freeze their eggs for free when they donate half of the eggs retrieved to a family that cannot otherwise conceive. So, benefits of freezing your eggs with Co-Fertility. I mean, they're endless, to be honest. They can recommend fertility clinics. They're like nationwide. You get discounted consultations and treatments, storage discounts, one-on-one support, financial resources, and they also have like their own online community that you can speak with, commiserate with, that has like, you know, different tips and tricks, like ice packs before injections. There's a pro tip that helps a lot. And bring a heating pad with you for retrieval. You don't need it like too badly, but you might. It just helps. CoFertility has already supported hundreds of women to help them learn more about their fertility and begin the process of freezing their eggs. They make matches between intended parents and split members every single day. So if that's something that speaks to you, like what a gift. I mean, if I were a little, wish I was a little bit younger, I would definitely do that program because I think it's just so special what they're doing.
I completely agree. And if you are listening to all of this and you are curious to learn more, be sure to head to cofertility.com/freeze, where you can take their free quiz. All you have to do is answer a few questions to learn about how their egg freezing options work and to see if you qualify for any of their programs. Also, be sure to follow along on Instagram and on TikTok at Freeze by Co. Their TikToks are so educational, funny, and helpful. We are so grateful that you tune in with us every Friday here at The WOMED. Be sure, as always, again, to follow along with us at The WOMED on Instagram and on TikTok. Every listen, share, download, comment, rate, review means the absolute world to us. It allows us to keep doing what we're doing, which is bringing really great guests and episodes to your ear holes every Friday. Danny, I love you so much. Thank you for being so vulnerable and for sharing on this episode. I am sure our community will be so grateful to hear from you. So on that note, WOMED
out.